Welcome to the first test episode of, I think we're going to call this Just Watched. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, joined today by Cole Monroe. How's it going, Cole?
Pretty good.
Excellent,
sir.
I'm excited to talk about other things, and...
We're not going to talk about video games?
No. So naturally, we're going to talk about wrestling, because yes. NXT TakeOver 2 just happened this week, and it's probably my favorite thing going on with wrestling right now, but, before we get there, I want to try to start these episodes with just suggestions of other things we could watch for future episodes or just for our listeners. So is there anything that you've started or anything cool you think people should check out?
Yeah, I've started watching Nitro from the first episode on.
Fair enough.
So what I'm doing is watching the Nitros, and then when they have a pay-per-view, watching the pay-per-view, and then just moving right along.
Okay, so you're like doing one Nitro a week and...
Well, keep... I'm doing one Nitro...
A day.
Well, yeah, not a day. I watched a couple yesterday, but...
Oh, you mean like timeline-wise you're watching...
Timeline-wise, okay. I watched like the Nitros leading up to the pay-per-view, then watched the pay-per-view, and gotcha. Then...
I thought maybe you meant you were watching pay-per-views when WWE has a pay-per-view, just like to, I don't know, keep like a schedule that you're following, but...
No, there's no schedule. It's just when I'm in the mood to watch mostly shitty 1995 WCW.
I've never really been in that mood. I watched some of the Monday Night War stuff. But.
Yeah, the Monday Night War stuff's really good. But what's interesting about WCW for me is, you know, I was a big WWF guy growing up, and then I switched back and forth a lot. You know, on Saturday night I'll watch WCW if I'm home, and then the Monday Night Wars once they got going, I was a channel flipper until the Mick Foley thing, and then I just stayed with Raw and barely watched anything after that for WCW. But some of the matches that they have on Nitro are actually really good, and some of them are absolute dog shit.
Yeah, I think
so. It's not that much different than WWE, but like the episode I watched last night was Dean Malenko versus Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, man, this is a really good match. And then they fucking cut backstage like two different times to a Hulk Hogan interview.
Yeah.
And like totally took away the match. And I'm just like...
And there you've encapsulated everything.
God, what the fuck?
Was that their cruiserweight stuff at that point? Was that were they calling it that yet?
I don't know if they were calling it that yet. I don't remember hearing that. It wasn't for a belt or anything. It was just a match. And then Pillman and Johnny B. Badd, which is turned into Mark Mero, which I never liked. I've always thought he was shitty, but they had a really good match at the Fall Brawl, which is like the first pay-per-view in line after Nitro started. So
interesting.
I was impressed with their match. But
I was cracking up. I guess I saw some post... Whenever they launched the Nitro stuff on the network, that first episode of Raw, which was especially bad, the dudes had signs like I'd rather spend $99. I could be at home watching Nitro, or I'd rather spend $9.99 on Nitro or something like that, and they kicked those dudes out of the.
Yeah, I thought that was silly. It was a clever sign.
It was like he's promoting your stuff. It's just
exactly.
Because I.
Snarkiest kind of a way.
I still tell people, like, even if I didn't like new WWE, I would have the network just for the old stuff. I would continue to do that subscription. So I like that they're still adding stuff and promoting it. So anything outside of wrestling?
Watched a little bit of the Sons of Anarchy premiere.
Yep.
I watched all of it. I didn't watch some of it.
I'm with you there.
Jesus, that emotion... Like, because I just finished the previous season like a month ago, and so all that stuff that really happened in that last episode stuck with me for this whole month, basically waiting until this premiere. And it was
we've got a couple really big fans of that show, and so we get to talk about it every week. We even started a spreadsheet of our death pool of who we think's gonna die, and.
Nice.
But then we have this guy that works remotely most of the time. He'll come in like once or twice a month for our team meetings. He's a good guy. He's funny, but apparently he hates the show. Wow. And I couldn't get out of him why, but he thinks it's dumb. Like he thinks I don't know if he thinks it's too self-serious or it's just he doesn't like it. And I need to get that out of him before I keep going on, because it's fascinating, because that's my favorite show on TV. So
yeah, that's probably my favorite show as well.
I don't know, maybe I'm so far into it like he just thinks it's a ridiculous show, and I don't know, I wonder where it crossed the line for him. So
I think for some people that like I've talked to at work about it, because there's not a whole lot of people that watch it, and which is really surprising to me, but a lot of them bring up the violence. It's just too much for some people to watch.
Violence is awesome.
I'm kind of with the same feeling that you have, but I mean, I get why people don't want to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he was like more of the bad acting, bad story side of things. I'm like, what are you watching? So
he obviously isn't watching it.
Yeah. We've been going back through The Wire, got through The Wire season one, and I'm halfway through season two, which is still catches you off guard when they just go a completely different route with it, with all the doc stuff.
Yeah, my least favorite season is season two.
Yeah. Does it, I think I got through, I can't remember if there are seven seasons. Is this?
I think there's five seasons.
Five seasons? Then I did, I don't think I watched four and five. So I got through, I know, so I didn't watch the last two seasons.
The first season is the dealers.
Yeah.
The second season is the dock workers. Is the third season the kids?
I think. Yeah.
Okay. Third season is my favorite season.
Yeah, I like, yeah.
Fourth season is the schools.
And then I watched four.
And the fifth season is the newspaper.
I don't know. It, like, somewhere in four, it started getting, like, focusing more on the politics of Baltimore.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
And yeah, I started tuning out, and they killed off some characters I like, so. But I'm sure we'll get there.
Three was the schools and the kids, and then four was politics, I think, and then five, the newspaper. The newspaper season's pretty interesting, too.
Because that's what, he worked for the newspaper, right, Simon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And somebody's, they've, we've been talking about that. I'm finally going to go back and watch Treme. So,
I watched the first episode, was not into it. All right. So,
I just want to see Bunk. I just want to see Bunk. I've fallen back in love with Bunk. So, I want to see
him. But it's not Bunk. That's the thing. I think I expected, and this is my fault for not even like reading up on what kind of episode, like what kind of a series it was, but I was expecting like crime stuff.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any of that. So, yeah. Maybe that comes later. I don't know. But that's what I was interested in, to see if there was like,
that's good to know.
New Orleans crimes, but it's not. From the first episode, it didn't seem
like. It's just people.
It was just people and musicians.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah.
And then the Netflix thing we just started watching last night, The Fall. It's one of another Netflix original, but I'm noticing, so they have the Netflix originals that are like the BBC-based ones.
Sure, like The Fall is, right?
Yeah. And, but, so I'd heard some things about it, like both positive and negative, but when I saw that Gillian Anderson was on the show, I had to give it a shot. So, first episode, creepy as hell. So, I'm going to keep...
So, it's good.
It. Yeah. Yeah. It's...
Okay, so, we had a conversation when you were out here a couple weeks ago about The Strain.
Yeah.
Do you like it better than The Strain? Are they similar in creepiness?
First episode, I like it better than The Strain.
Okay.
The Strain, I totally understand the criticisms it has. I don't hate it. I get upset that I know it could be a lot better, but because, I don't know, I'm getting a monster fix that I don't have in my TV diet otherwise, so I don't mind watching it. But I will recognize that every character on the show is terrible, every actor is terrible, and I don't, like, I'm worried that I don't know where it's going. If it's going to fall in like a Walking Dead type of scenario where there's really no hope, like if these monsters start winning, I don't know where the show goes and if it can be good. Like, so I'll keep watching it because there's nothing else to watch. I'll be curious if I come back for season two, and I haven't been following whether or not it's how it's doing the ratings, but I still like all the monster stuff. I'm more there just to see what Del Toro, I mean, I've seen everything he's done. I mean, as far as the monster design and that kind of thing. So, I'll see through this season. We'll see if I re-up for season two. But I don't hate it, but I recognize that it's not all that great. And the biggest thing I can say against it is, since I watch everything, I subscribe on Amazon to most of my shows, I don't really pay attention to what network stuff's on. And so I'll be in the middle of watching a show and whatever. And for the longest time, when I was watching The Strain, I was like, giving it a break because I thought it was a network show.
Oh.
And then I realized, oh, no, this is a...
This is FX.
Yeah, and it's definitely not on the level of some of their other stuff. So, yeah, The Strain is... I don't know, I watch it because it's there.
And I think part of my bias against it is I did expect it because it was on an FX, the FX channel, to be as of a quality with, you know, like The Shield and Sons of Anarchy, stuff like that, even Nip Tuck, and it's not.
Yeah,
it's not there for me at all.
No, yeah, I totally understand that. I think because I watched 4 or 5 episodes thinking it was on NBC, I was like, oh, you know, coming along.
Yeah.
Not really registering, like, the NBC's not going to show this gore, and the show's not the same length and all that stuff. But
sure.
Anyway. All right, back to wrestling, because... Yes.
Number one passion on Horrible Night.
Absolutely. because WWE, NXT, TakeOver 2, they're... quarterly pay-per-views or whatever. Triple H kind of, he's like, might as well call them pay-per-views, but I wish they could sell them that way, because damn, they've all been fantastic, and this one was no letdown. But yeah, they've been building up to this one for a while, and I think they've done really a great job with like kind of throwing that out there as a marker, because, you know, I don't ever know when the NXT shows are upcoming, so it's always like I kept getting kind of tired of, like, are they ever going to let these titles change hands? What are they going to do? And then they started that a few weeks ago. They started the tag team tournament to determine the number one contenders. And then I was like, no, they're building towards the show. And so I really started paying attention to NXT. And really, it's my favorite thing on WWE right now. Like, I like seeing the new guys, and the wrestling's so good. And their stories, they've gotten so much. They've gotten a lot better in the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, NXT is probably the favorite thing I'm watching too with wrestling. It's interesting because you have, you know, for the most part, some very well-known indie stars, like Sami Zayn was El Generico, and you know, they're bringing on Kenta and Kevin Steen and Prince Fergal from Japan, and like, I'm really excited to watch those guys because there's not a lot of easy ways to watch those indie guys.
Yep.
I mean, unless they're in Ring of Honor, and then it's going to cost you some money to watch every month or so. But I think it's clear that Triple H can run a promotion.
Yep.
And I know he has like people helping him out, like Dusty Rhodes is down there, like helping him with the writing, and he's on the creative team, and it's almost night and day from the big leagues.
Like, it's so tight. Like, we'll get to this later as far as where we want to see NXT go, but like, it's just, I think the hour-long format, and there's no room for bloat. It just kicks ass, and I also like the length of most of the matches. Like, they get to, especially with the diva stuff, because their diva wrestlers are so good that they get a chance to actually show off what they can do. There's something there that needs to be brought up to the at least the format wise, or something needs to be brought up further.
I agree, and I think, you know, because of the hour long show, and I know they do multiple tapings in one day, mm-hmm. for I don't know how long out they tape, but because of that, they don't have the same people on every show, so they're also not getting stale.
Yeah,
like some of the people are on Raw and SmackDown, just because they have the same people on every week. The roster's big enough where that doesn't have to happen, but the ratings concerns and the live audience gate concerns are probably driving some of those decisions to keep familiar people on TV every week.
For sure.
Whereas NXT can kind of survive and coast on, we have an hour, sorry, you're not on this week.
Maybe you'll get them next week.
Yeah.
And we might be changing their character completely, or who knows?
Right, exactly. And, you know, we're gonna try things that we can't necessarily try out on Raw.
So let's just run down the card here from TakeOver 2. It started off with the tag team championship. So Sin Cara and Kalisto, the Lucha Dragons,
yes.
They were the winners of the number one contender tournament. I was kind of disappointed because I really wanted the Vaudevillains to win.
Yes, the Vaudevillains are so good. I was like, I sit next to this girl she's like really into nerdy stuff and plays video games and stuff. So we talk a lot about video games and nerdy stuff. And every once in a while, like, I'll show her something from wrestling just because I know she'll appreciate it. And she laughed her ass off when I showed her the Vaudevillains.
The gimmick is so good. And yeah. I think obviously, I feel like since they've brought Sin Cara back to NXT, they've tried to want to do something with him. And I don't know much about Kalisto, but he's been pretty great in the ring. And I think this version of Sin Cara is probably getting better than historically, right?
Yeah, this Sin Cara was always kind of better in the ring than Mystico,
yeah.
Which is the original Sin Cara. He doesn't screw up and get hurt as often, it doesn't seem like. So I like that they're kind of rebooting him in NXT with Kalisto.
Yeah.
Kalisto's pretty awesome.
Yep.
Like, his finisher is really cool. And they need some Hispanic wrestlers for people to follow after Del Rio got fired. So
I'll be curious. I mean, I feel like they're trying to build them up to get them back on the main roster and try to get Kalisto up there. But
sure.
I wonder if the main WWE fans will embrace Sin Cara again. I mean, he's always still, like, he still shows up on Superstars and all that stuff, so it's not like he's never really gone away for them, but
I think kids love Sin Cara. All
right, fair enough.
I think that's where, like, the draw is, and, like, Mystico, or, Kalisto is going to be, like, that much more popular.
Yeah, that's true. They got to have, I mean, I'd rather them have this type of stuff than, like, the Matadors and, like, doing the dumb humor matches. Like, I get you've got to have that one draw for the kids, but the way they book those matches, it's just, I don't know, I'd still always would rather side on having more entertaining wrestling than some of those gimmicks, but anyway, so I was kind of surprised to see that they got the push over the Vaudevillains, but also they've established Vaudevillains that they can stick in NXT and work the tag teams for a while, and they got some more tag teams to work with, because, I mean, so this is all to fight the Ascension, who has had no one to fight since I've started watching NXT.
Right.
So, and you know enough about me that, like, the Ascension's gimmick of just, like, they look straight out of the Attitude era of something I would have been 100% behind, or even, like, kind of like a new, Legion of Doom type of thing. And I'm glad it looks like they had some sort of vampire gimmick a while back, and they don't really build that up.
One was a vampire. One was like an ancient Egyptian or something like that.
It's weird.
I don't know.
They don't bring it up anymore. So no. I'm fine with that. But every match I've seen with them, they just come in and they do their moves. They do their Fall of Man and they kick the team's ass in 30 seconds. Just total jobbing types of scenarios. So I've never actually seen them wrestle. The match was okay. It was okay. I think. It looks like they're probably getting a push here soon up to the main roster, which there aren't very many tag teams to compete with, but I watched that, I guess they did, not Superstars, they did Main Event with the Matadors, and that match was pretty damn boring. I don't know whose fault that was, but...
the Matadors, because all their stuff is pretty boring.
Yeah. I want to see the Ascension work a match, and this is the closest we've had, and there's some pretty good spots, and... Mm-hmm. I was actually kind of glad that they let the Dragons take home the title.
Yeah, I was surprised that, like you said, I wanted the Vaudevillains in that spot. But I understand why they're going with the Lucha Dragons. They're really popular in NXT, and they fit a market that the WWE doesn't really have right now.
Yeah.
And I was ready for the Ascension to go up to the main roster. Just because I'm tired of them.
Yeah, they can't do it. I mean,
they don't have anything to do. And
if they hang around NXT, they're only just going to knock them down notches. It's just like get them out of there, see what they can do. The WWE needs tag teams because Ryback has to fight somebody. I mean, Ryback still needs to fight somebody else. Whenever he comes back, did you watch Ryback's little promo he cut when he was on when he's just about to go into surgery and he was all oh my god, he was out of his mind, but it was awesome. He just talked about how much he loves the business. It was just like the most genuine.
That's hilarious.
Like, and after, like, so we saw jumping around.
We saw his last
we saw his last live show in Vegas, which is hometown crowd for him. And I've never really cheered for Ryback, but I was 100% behind him and following up with that video. Like, hopefully they do something with him when he comes back. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I felt really good. I felt like that was super nice of the Las Vegas crowd to, like, they didn't chant Goldberg. They popped pretty loud for him, especially when he got the hot tag. He's a heel tag team, and he got the hot tag from Randy Orton, totally playing to the crowd, which was awesome.
Yeah.
That match was actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got a newfound respect for all three, like Ryback, Curtis Axel, and Randy Orton, because Curtis Axel took a hellacious clothesline.
Yep.
And I was like, whoa!
Yep.
That's awesome. You can actually do something. But Ryback and Orton were actually like really funny.
So it seems like they could bring up either team now. I think they're probably going to have the Lucha Dragons work for a little while here. But it seems like they could probably throw up the Ascension and the Dragons here pretty quick. So I'll be curious to see what they do with this tag team run. Maybe they do a little bit of a battle with the Ascension before they get called up, so the Ascension actually can work some matches, because it's probably been a while since.
Maybe they get called up to the main roster together to do like not necessarily be on Raw, but do the dark matches too. And I don't know how. I know some of the guys have come up before. Like Sami Zayn and Neville have worked dark matches. But just getting them in front of that crowd and then letting the crowd start to know them, because who knows how many people are watching NXT. If they just come in and start wrecking house, I don't know if the crowd is necessarily going to buy them.
Yeah. Yeah. The Ascension just seems like such a generic gimmick. Like, it's just like metal dudes. Like, that's the aura they come across.
With a little bit of the Acolytes, like, mixed together, but not in the same awesome way.
Yeah. So, I hope for I want to see an interesting tag teams in the WWE. So, I hope they can pull it off. But, I think right now the Lucha Dragons look like they have a higher upswing than the Ascension will. But,
well, and in the Ascension, like, with their big dudes, like, it would be interesting to see what they can do with Rowan and Harper.
Yeah. Yeah, but are they that big? Like, is Connor as big as those guys? Like,
I don't know. One of them is fairly big.
Yeah,
but it would be a hard hitting match that might be interesting to watch. You know.
Yep. Next up was a job match, but interesting in that I've seen when I started watching NXT, CJ Parker, they were finally going away from kind of trying to make him a face, and. So he's come back. I've actually enjoyed his work as a heel, just being a hippie that you hate. And,
yeah.
I don't really know. The Xavier Woods feud was weird. It was just like, I don't know why he can all of a sudden call out somebody that really isn't on the roster. And but I have, like, CJ Parker, like, I've enjoyed his work, but they haven't done shit with him. And the crowd could care less about him. Sure. So they bring out CJ Parker. And I love the fact that they just like, oh, and he's fighting Baron Corbin. Like, is this new guy? And that match was over in about 90 seconds or less, 60 seconds or less.
Yeah. Baron Corbin did two moves, one of which was fucking amazing.
That was
his finisher. It was like a side Russian leg sweep, but not. I don't know. It was weird.
He just swung him around for a while and slammed on his face. That's what I saw. And and it was over. And I didn't expect to see a match like that. Apparently in the pre-show, like, that was like, so.
Yeah, Corbin came out and begged for a match from.
Was it Corbin or was it CJ Parker? CJ Parker.
CJ Parker, I mean. CJ Parker came out and like said, hey, was bothering Regal with all the signs. And Regal's like, hey, you want a match?
I got a guy. And
Triple H had alluded to like a debut of sorts, besides Kenta, during his, like, he had a Q&A on Twitter or something before, and he had said there was going to be another debut, even though Baron Corbin's already wrestled for NXT. Like, this was kind of like a reintroduction of him. And
it's weird because they have the kind of jobbers that they sprinkle in through some matches, but kind of having that moment of, no, we're going to promote this as like a serious character, and it was effective for what it was. Like,
eye opening.
Yeah. Then that finisher was awesome. Otherwise, he was just generic giant dude with tattoos until he did that finisher. And it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could they be done with CJ Parker? Because I don't know what they're like. The crowd.
I don't know. Maybe he's just, you know, like
the crowd does not care.
Not everybody, I guess, can get to the main roster. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the long term plans for NXT in that route. As far as like, do they hold on to guys that are just effective at that level, or if they see that they're not going the main roster, do they cut them? Like, it seems like
I think after a time period, they definitely get cut.
Yeah.
Just because you can have those guys be up and comers. You don't need to keep a guy like CJ Parker around if he's going to fall into this role. You know,
yeah.
You don't need to necessarily keep him around for years and years because you can always have new guys play that part. And
yeah.
Those new guys might actually have a chance to move on, whereas maybe a CJ Parker isn't.
Especially with some of the signings they've had recently. But
yeah, holy shit.
Yeah. But those signings, too, I don't know if NXT is just a temporary stop for them on the way up. So I'll be curious to see how they promote them through the ranks. So.
Well, did you see that picture of that Triple H, that selfie that he posted?
No.
It was a picture of him with Kenta, Steen, and Fergal, and they're all doing the NWO sign. And then like the hashtag was like the internet just exploded or something like that.
That all right, that's interesting.
It's pretty good.
The next match, my dogs were more important than this one, but you said you enjoyed the hair versus hair match with Enzo Amore and Sylvester LaFleur. My problem with this is I like Big Cass. I like Colin Cassidy.
Yeah.
And the fact that he wasn't actually wrestling, I could care less about Enzo. So, and then I saw it was a hair versus hair, and it took forever to get going. So, I came back to it. But what did I miss?
Well, the interesting part is Enzo is like, I really don't want to like him.
Yeah.
His character is like super annoying to me. But it's kind of entertaining with him and Big Cass, like when they're like going back and forth.
Mm.
But that's not, I guess, wrestling. That's just outside of the ring. So
is it weird that I kind of get a New Age Outlaws out of the two of them?
Yeah, like, I can see that. Yeah, for sure. They came up with some of the same hijinks at the hair salon and stuff like that. But at the end of the match, it was LaFleur and Marcus Louis. LaFleur, like, they were trying to carry him up, and he escapes and runs off, but leaves Marcus Louis there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Big Cass just, like, big boots the shit out of him. And then they throw the bucket of cream on his head, and that was it. Like, they didn't even get LaFleur's hair. So it's going to be a continuation, I think, for a few more weeks, the storyline of two teams fighting and, like, probably involving with the hair, because They're not going to let Sylvester LaFleur just keep running away. Like, there's going to be a payoff at some point, I think.
Yeah, that's been going on for a while. And, like, yeah. I think Enzo was hurt when I noticed Big Cass for the first time. So
yeah.
Enzo was kind of new to me. But, I mean, the crowd loves those guys. They're
chanting along to everything he says down the aisle. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. And I always thought it was curious because they didn't throw either of these teams in that tag team tournament, I don't think. At least the Legionnaires weren't in there. And so I haven't.
No, I'm pretty sure they were.
That first round, maybe?
Yeah, the first round.
Huh. But
yeah, I think both teams actually were. I'm not 100% sure on Enzo and Cass, but I remember seeing them wrestling recently, and that would be.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they were wrestling alongside of the tournament, but they weren't. Right. Anyway,
yeah.
But they've been. I haven't actually seen the Legionnaires do anything outside of anything with Enzo, so. Anyway, But I also get the idea, is LaFleur a pretty good wrestler?
He has the body that looks like one. I don't know if he is one, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he looks,
I didn't pay attention.
He's definitely got the look, and I haven't seen them do anything with him, so I was just kind of curious. So, And then the general manager of NXT, William Regal, which is a fantastic move, by the way. And when does he turn heel? That's what I keep waiting for. The crowd loves him, but I keep waiting for him to. He's just been playing to the crowd at this point. But so he brought out and introduced Kenta, who I don't really know much about other than he's supposed to be a huge deal from the Japanese wrestling circuit. And what do you know about him?
I don't know that much about him. I actually watched like a video featuring him before he was announced on NXT, just to kind of get an idea.
So he's a smaller dude, so he's going to be
a smaller dude, but he's also like kind of a badass. Like, he's a Daniel Bryan type.
Okay.
but I don't know if you're going to like him as much because all of his like moves are strong contact moves. They're not like crazy.
Yeah, I don't like crazy the knees and the headbutts. So
that's what it is.
Okay.
He has like a double leg like curb stomp thing that looks pretty cool. His go to sleep, I think CM Punk might have taken it from him.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not 100% sure on that. His go to sleep is 100 times better than CM Punk's. And that's because it's Japanese wrestlers. They're going to be more willing to take something that looks a lot stiffer than American wrestlers. So it's probably, I don't even know if he's going to be doing it since Punk kind of already made that his here in WWE. But
everybody's pretty excited about it.
If you go look a compilation up of Kenta's moves and finishers, like you'll see some pretty brutal go to sleeps.
Awesome. Awesome. So he's going to go by Hideo Itami, which I'll be curious to see how long it takes the crowd to react to that. Because, like, I don't know. I mean, the full sale crowd knows what's going on, so they're going to they know who Kenta is. I'd be curious how when he hits the main roster, like, how that transition goes, because it's tough to change a dude's name when you know who he is, and he seems like he has a little bit of we know who he is. So
yeah, and I'm surprised that they did that. Like, it makes sense for Sami Zayn because he was under a mask and his name was El Generico. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes sense to unmask him and bring him in as a different character. But like, does this mean they're going to change Kevin Steen's name and Prince Devitt's name? Like, I don't know. I don't like this precedence. I understand it just because for marketing and like Kenta probably trademarked his own name. And
yeah, that was kind of more my assumption. So
yeah, but to give up that recognition potential seems silly. I mean, it took Paul Heyman to talk Vince into keeping CM Punk's name. And
oh, gotcha.
I can't imagine CM Punk wrestling under any other name than that. You know.
Yeah.
But
we'll see. So then they introduce him, and the crowd seems pretty interested. And then the Ascension, first time I've ever seen them interrupt or like grab a mic or anything, they come out because they want a rematch for the tag team titles again. And they try to pick a fight with Hideo, and he chases them off. And that was kind of like, at least they use one of the bigger names in NXT and he fends off both of them. Yeah. He just fends off the long time tag team champs. So they're making a statement. So
yeah, kind of buried them, but
yeah, it's weird.
Propped up Hideo.
I mean, he didn't beat their ass, but they're just like, oh, this might not be worth the trouble. But it was still that choice was kind of like, kind of, I don't know, maybe like the vaudevillains do that or something like that. Give them, but that was that they wanted to make a statement, so they did that because. Yeah, I just have a feeling he's not going to be long for the NXT roster. Probably so,
do you think it's sad that in his, obviously English isn't his first language, but the promo that he delivered is better than a lot of people's promos?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Like, what the hell? Like, I know like they brought you in and they thought about like putting somebody like a translator with you because your English wasn't that great, but I guess it's getting better. But his promo was really good.
Yep. Yeah, he did. Yeah. I was impressed. So hopefully they haven't really done well with previous Japanese wrestlers. So hopefully they can figure something out. And it's tough with those guys, like setting them with a manager, like the manager gets more attention. So
yeah, hopefully he won't get one.
Which brings up a random question. Can Rusev, does he speak English? Is he just bad on the mic?
I don't know.
All right. All right.
He might just be bad on the mic. He doesn't need to talk really. Even without Lana, like if he didn't have Lana, I don't think he'd necessarily need to talk.
And the final match that I don't care about was next with Mojo Rawley and Bull Dempsey. They've been fighting for a while, which that feud's fine, but you know, I'm kind of over. And they got a handful of these guys. I'm kind of over the wrecking ball dudes, which is what Bull Dempsey is, and he just runs through people and just. I don't know. Mojo kind of had a job to Bull Dempsey once again, and I don't know.
Which I am 100% okay with because I do not like Mojo Rawley.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, but it was just it just seemed unnecessary for the pay per view. Like, I want to see Bull Dempsey have a match, and because I'm not totally sold on his look. I like how old school he is, but like he's a big dude, but doesn't strike me as a strong dude. So it's just like. Yeah. When he goes up against your other wrecking balls, I don't see him coming out on top. Like it seems like Rusev would destroy him. Like, yeah. I don't know what the long term what you're doing with Bull, but he's got a good the crowd likes him, and they get excited when Bull comes out. Like, yeah. So.
Yeah, I think that's something that character type is fairly popular on the indies as well, especially in Ring of Honor. There's a few of them. Kevin Steen's kind of a Bull, Wrecking Ball kind of guy. And he's, I think, from what I've seen, he's a way better wrestler than Bull Durham.
Bull Dempsey.
So it'll be interesting to see how much better he can get. It looks like he's losing weight, which he seemed a lot bigger, and hopefully that helps him out too. But yeah, I'm kind of glad to see the squash of Mojo Rawley, because he's just not that great.
Yeah, I've never...
In the ring. Like, he's
never done anything with him since
three moves, him. Three moves, and just Ultimate Warrior, like, get energy.
Hyped. Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of that character.
Now, we'll have to decide this, which was the better match, but... Like I said, I was looking the most forward to the Divas Championship because I'm a big Bayley fan, and I think Charlotte's been a great champion, and she works matches so damn well, and seeing Bayley get the chance to actually have like a long match with somebody that can keep up with her, I was really curious to see how Bayley would step up. And how about the Bayley's entrance, the streamers on her jacket or her cape or whatever that was? Oh,
very
man.
Macho man like.
Yeah, it was, and that's perfect for her. That's man, like, I should hate that character, but she's so damn likable, and I like her. Like, she works the ring so well, so that helps follow it up.
Yeah, and like Bayley should be annoying.
Yeah. Yes.
She's totally should be annoying, but part of her character that's so great is that she has the never give up attitude of a John Cena, you know? And she, like, just her like facial reactions in that match with Charlotte were awesome. Like, she didn't want to give up fighting, and she kept fighting, and Charlotte was kind of dominating as well. Bayley got her ass kicked, and
but there were a couple moments where you thought they might have to win, and
for sure.
And I totally got into it. Like, I was like, I didn't think they let her win because like Charlotte's going to be a big deal, yeah. And especially like her political ties in the industry may help her. But so I didn't think they would end Charlotte's reign, but I think they established that they can continue the feud a bit. And then it was a really great match, and like, you know, I wish the WWE universe was ready for longer Divas matches like this, because they have a lot of talent they can pull from, but I get like there's only so much TV they can give them, and but man, Bayley's come a long way. Like, she was kind of the, you know, when I got into this, Paige was on her way out of NXT. And Bayley was just kind of like the new young girl. I didn't know, like, you know, she can't be as technically sound, like, because she doesn't look as, you know, large or as strong as some of the other girls. But she definitely can work. She can sell. And and man, I like. But on the other side, Charlotte is really, she knows how to play the crowd. And like, she was a little bit of a babyface there for a while, and as she separated from the BFFs, but. I like her playing the villain in this type of match is much more natural, but the crowd still pops for her. They still do the woos, and like there's like a respect but a hatred. Like, we don't want you to crush our hero, but like, we respect you.
Yeah, and like the end thing with Sasha Banks too kind of helped cement that with her as well.
Yeah,
and the pre-show, Sasha Banks was on as well.
Okay,
and I thought she did a great job.
Yeah,
like just talking, like she was like yelling. She was all up in Alex Riley's face, and like if that was a real person, I would absolutely hate that person. Mm-hmm. Just because I would think they're so annoying. But I know it's just a character, and like I think she is doing a great job at playing that character, and she's pretty decent in the ring as well.
Yeah, I've completely come around on Sasha Banks, because she was totally the, you know, the third member of BFFs, and I thought she was more of the Summer Rae type, in that she's more model than wrestler.
No,
she's a decent wrestler, and I like her matches with Bayley have been good, even though like it was kind of like I don't want Bayley to have to deal with the second rung. I want her to go for Charlotte. So I think they said they might be setting up a triple threat match here soon with the three of them, which makes a lot of sense. So they can continue that for a while. So, because I mean, also like, because the other side is Charlotte needs someone to fight if she's going to stick around in NXT. Like these champs, they just like they go through the roster and it's just like, okay, are you going to call them up? But like, they're already not doing enough with the Divas. Like, there's no room for them on the main roster. So it's just
especially if they're not going to be on Total Divas.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and I don't want any of the Total Divas. So, yeah, I don't know what they can do with Charlotte. But like, you know, you see how they've you know what they've done with Paige. I still don't really like all that stuff. But and AJ's fine. But they have.
But they put Paige with somebody who can actually wrestle too.
Yeah.
Which is good. You know, she's not involved with this Bella crap.
But well, and then I mean, who are the other two? Emma and who did Charlotte fight for the champ? What's her name? Natalia. Yeah. They don't really do much with her. No. And so it's like then you're gonna have three other. Yeah. How big can the WWE Divas like wrestling side actually get? Because
I would love for them to have their own show on the network once they have enough good wrestlers.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, that would be. I'd watch that if it's the wrestling divas
Divas. You have, especially when if it's just women, take out the cliched like we're fighting over a guy.
Yeah,
because it's gone. You have to come up with interesting storylines that we haven't seen for women's wrestling on this stage.
Yep.
And so everything is going to be fresh.
Maybe they're just doing that. Maybe they're just like really waiting. Like if the network gets to a certain point, it's not a slap in the face for the show to just be network only. And that's like,
right. Yeah.
You know, that's the problem with SmackDown right now. It's just like they can't really do anything with it. And anyway, so I was that match was really entertaining.
It's a great match. Great match.
So I was watching this out in the living room. Usually I hide in shame when I watch my wrestling, and I'm watching it in my office or, you know, when Megan and Lily are doing something else. But Megan kind of came back in the living room. Like I was, you know, I was kind of like, this is going to be good wrestling. I don't care. I can defend this. Like this isn't no dumb.
Soap opera bullshit.
Yeah. That stuff's not going to happen. So she kind of came in towards the tail end of that match. She saw Bayley's intro and thought that was kind of curious and kind of she saw the tail end of this match. She watched the entire Fatal 4-Way with me. And,
wow.
And I sold her on Tyler Breeze. So she's a Tyler Breeze fan. And the Fatal 4-Way, holy shit, did that live up to the hype. Those guys, I don't know what it is. Like they've built it up such... They've given them so much time to have chemistry with each other. Like the match was just it never stopped. It was fantastic.
And each of them had a chance to get their moves in.
Yep.
It was all fairly plausible that any of them could have won. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know where they were going with it.
I didn't either. And like the story they told with Sami Zayn, just like coming up short again, being so close, but if it weren't for like the heel move of Adrian Neville to pull the referee out, like he would have won. And I just thought that, like, his reaction at the end after he gets Neville's pinning Tyson Kidd. Sammy trying to get back into the ring to stop him was just like, God, you guys are on a different level.
And I love that they brought Breeze up with it, and I've been sold on Kidd. Like, I didn't like him when he first showed up.
Because he was like this super baby face, like, hey, everybody like me, and... Now they knew that wasn't working, and they made this like switch with his facts and everything like that, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah, so it was kind of like he was the one I didn't think they'd give it to, but I was even through the match. I can't remember if he had a pin opportunity though.
I don't know if he did either.
Had a serious one, but like you know the stuff off the top rope when it was Neville on the rope, and then Breeze and Kidd got up there to try to suplex him off the rope. And then, Zayn came in underneath him and slammed everybody. That was just, oh my God. They had so many good spots and then such good drama that, like, it was a little, like, the timing of it was a little off, but I love the, was it, so I think Kidd had Tyler Breeze and figure four or something, or sharpshooter. Sharp hit him in the sharpshooter, and he was about to tap out, and Neville slid in to catch his arm. That was like the idea of that is fantastic. And then
they're doing original stuff that we haven't necessarily seen before, too.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool.
And then the ending, like, I didn't want Neville's reign to continue. I haven't enjoyed it. And although seeing him on Raw kind of gave me a newfound respect for him. Like, the crowd will, they'll be interested in him. And, like, he does have something that the other guys don't. So that combined with, it was almost a twist that they let him keep it. And now they've built up it even, you know, because that a Neville Zayn fight's going to be fantastic. And the fact that they're kind of alluding to that. I know it's too early to push Tyler Breeze, but I've been so sold on him since I came in. Like, I hated him the first time I saw him, and then by the end of his first match, like, I really liked his character.
He's Derek Zoolander. How can you hate Derek Zoolander?
But he sells so well, and I want him to start calling them Tyler Tantrums, but when he thinks he's got the pen, and he did that twice, and that's when, like, Megan was laughing along with it, totally getting into those characters, and she like has a crush on Sami Zayn now, and I was just like, well, you're liking all the right people, so and she's like, oh, the ugly guy won. Yeah, I was like, yeah, well, he's
he called that out on himself in a promo, so he's not the most attractive guy.
Nice. Yeah. But I was more afraid that they've been working this so long that this match would not be as entertaining as some of the previous ones, but holy shit, like that was just a well. It's hard to pace a Fatal 4-Way like that, and they did such a good job. And it was, like you said, usually you can kind of call out, it's like, okay, this is Tyler Breeze's time to do his moves. And it, the flow of it was so well, I didn't notice those spots quite as much as I normally do in these matches.
The only thing that I noticed, or that stood out to me a lot, was Tyler Breeze wasn't in that match that much.
Right.
He was on the outside a lot.
But
he did have his time to shine, but it made sense while he was on the outside. It was like, people kept hitting him, you know, so I thought that was clever. Like, if he's not going to get a chance to work that much in the match, like, find a clever way to keep him on the outside. And like, Adrian Neville would always go over and hit him, or somebody would.
I thought Kidd did a good job with, he was always throwing Neville out of the ring. Like I want to see them push Breeze, but I also know it's early to push Breeze, and he's still kind of got to build up his physique a bit, and they got to see how long this character can go, but I think he's got a bright future in front of him. So, I like the angle of, because you can do a Breeze versus Kid for a while would be interesting. Like, they'd have good matches. If you can separate this off, that's how I would do it.
And they've already got some, headbutting going on. And, you can, that's a good way for two heels to fight, you know. And I think they can maintain their roles as heels.
Yep. So
overall, it was a great card.
It was fantastic. Oh, man, it was so good. Like, I'm trying to think. I mean, you kind of convinced me that, you know, hair versus hair was entertaining on its own regard. Like, really, there was just the Mojo Bowl match that was kind of disappointing. But, man, that was... Yeah, Triple H knows what he's doing.
which is awesome.
Which is also, like, so... So, yeah, I started watching this just as Bo Dallas was leaving, and it felt like that was kind of like a little bit of an end of an era for NXT, and to see them build this back up over the last 6 months, like, it's as strong or stronger than it's ever been. And the fact that they can keep infusing new talent and get to see guys develop like this, it's the most entertaining thing they have going on.
Yeah. I think that they're building it, so it's... They're trying to make it like a third brand, and that's what Triple H said on his Q&A. And I think that I find it very similar to like looking at a Major League Baseball team and a AAA team. Mm-hmm. You can have a great AAA team and a real shitty pro level team.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Raw is shitty because I'm enjoying it.
I'm not down on it.
But to have these fresh guys who can wrestle their asses off, which is what I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not so much interested in the storylines. Like, I want to see good wrestling. And you have quite a few of those guys in NXT, and not so much on the main roster.
Yep.
especially after Punk and Daniel Bryan's been hurt, like, all these guys in NXT wrestled with those guys on the indies and got better, and it's awesome to finally, like, hey, the WWE is signing the best guys from the indies.
Yeah. So the future seems bright. It's just a matter of how do they make that transition from, because they've got to shed a little bit of the, I don't know, or groom their audience a little bit differently, because, I don't know, you see, I don't know, they, I guess they pop for the NXT match a bit on Raw, like, not so much for the Ascension stuff, but, like, for the tag.
Well, when you have Adrian Neville flying through the air like he does, like, you're going to pop.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, there's something, and I don't know if it's in a 3-hour format or the two shows a week, like, they've got to make better use of their TV time. They've got to make it tighter. And it's like you said, I'm entertained by it, but I just know it can be so much better because NXT is just on a different level for me. And I don't know. And it's really, I also like watching NXT because of the crowd there. Like, they just
have the crowd makes it.
And they have such a good time, and they get, and I don't know. And there's just like, I don't know, there's more drama in that, like, these guys' careers are kind of on the line, like, if they fall on their face or something doesn't go over. And I like that little added drama. And it has just enough story. Like,
yeah, you don't, it's not overdone. And it reminds me of, like, old school WWF before, like, all the writers came in and, like, the wrestlers were responsible for coming up with, like, what they're saying. And, you know, you're presented a feud from the promoter and then, hey, you guys go do what you need to do. And it has that more of that feeling to me. I know they're probably, like, scripting them to a certain extent because they're trying to get everybody used to the main roster and that style of TV. But it feels more organic and natural to me than some of the stuff on the Raw does.
I mean, hopefully it can at least translate into having a better mid-card on, because they just, all those guys just seem to be floundering. And we like most of the mid-card guys. It's just like, but it's just like, there are no stakes here. There's nothing to care about. So, like you say, yeah, we'd rather, we're good if the wrestling's good. But, like, there's got to be a little bit of drama in there. Like, we don't need the elaborate storylines. But, like, they're not doing, like, anything with anybody. So,
And I don't care if these guys never make it to the world title picture. Like, but drop the U.S. title, make the IC title mean something. And you have these guys just fighting for it and having good matches and make it more traditional. That's what the WWF used to be. It was the big, huge dudes who necessarily can't work as well are wrestling for the main title. And all the workers are going after the Intercontinental title.
And then
that's a stepping stone to bump yourself up potentially to the main title. And they have the guys coming through the system that can do that. And even with guys like Ryder and some of the guys that they recently cut, I think, could have been like Jinder Mahal or Drew McIntyre could have been part of a core that made that really strong. Some of them are better than others, but they have the core there to do that with that Intercontinental title. They just don't believe enough in that title or care enough in that title to do that. They don't spend enough time outside of, like, the main story.
It's a 3-hour show every week, and they seem to be only focused on one or two things. Like, I don't know how you can't spread the talent around. Like, I don't know how, like, you can't give your mid-level writers, like, more leeway with the mid-card stuff. Like, I don't know. It's just...
What if they did something like this? What if they... This might not make sense advertising-wise, but what if they gave an hour to the mid-card guys to feud and have everything over the IC title? What if they gave an hour to the women?
Right.
And then what if they gave an hour to, let's say, like, the Orton, Cena's, Jericho's, Wyatt's, like, the upper to, you know, upper mid-card to top guys, they get an hour to tell their stories. And then you know which hour it is. It's not just jumping around. Like, this would not make sense for ratings or advertisers at all. But it would be, in an ideal world, they each have that chunk of time, then you're not overexposed with Cena being in 4 or 5 segments. And now he's in 1, 2 maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird with... They've got too much TV time right now, and they're also not doing anything with it. And because they have to be concerned with selling the tickets to the live shows, they can't really... They've got to have the big guys on SmackDown, because I'd rather see them, like, basically... throw out SmackDown, kind of redo it with an NXT flavor, and like make it a tighter and make it just wrestling, like, and see how that goes. But problem is, you're not going to sell the tickets to the show, and it's like they've got to let something go, because I think if you get rid of that a little bit, like do a taped show in a singular location, or you just focus on the wrestling and it's smaller venues or whatever it is, you might increase the live turnout at Raw's and give, because that show could use some energy too. And like, yeah, it's just, they're doing something right with NXT. They have the talent to port it over to the bigger show, but I don't know how those lessons get translated. So
I think they're stuck into like sort of a catch 22. Like, if they, we had talked about this when you're out, when we watch Raw, about how make SmackDown that show for the mid cards and focus, have them focus their storylines there. They're so focused on ratings and advertising money, which I get, that they're not willing to give that stuff a chance, when that's, that stuff that you give a chance could be bigger than what you're showing on SmackDown now.
Yeah. I mean, SmackDown's a joke. It's like, it's, they just repeat Raw stuff or twist it. And it's like, there's no room for creativity and there's no reason for anybody to care. Like, outside of the people that just are just seeing the big guys wrestle and do the same thing. And apparently there's enough of those people. But, it's just sad that like the people that we give a shit about aren't getting the TV time, and there's a place for it. But, it's also like, there's just so much, they're getting to the point, there's so much talent out there that I want to see wrestle, and there's not enough TV time. So it's just, I don't know. That's the biggest frustration, that it could be so much better. And I think it could, I don't know. I think this is just kind of, I think it's early, but it's going to be whatever that next big change to WWE is kind of on the rising, because they're embracing their younger stars and the technical wrestling a lot more since I've come on, started watching again this year. And I think they know that that tide is turning. It's just a matter of how do you make that happen with the Raw crowd, and there's no easy answer for it right now. Cool. Well, that was fun. I think we'll, maybe we'll come back and recap Night of Champions. That's coming up here soon. But we'll sprinkle in some wrestling episodes and talk some TV in future episodes as well. But Cole, thanks for hanging out, man.
Yeah, no problem. It was a lot of fun.
Yep. Yeah.